Daniel was in a state of, I don't know, of a trance or a vision or a sleep or whatever, but he's dreaming at least. He has a vision, and this is by night, so I assume that maybe he was asleep and saw this vision. And he saw the raging sea, and out of the raging sea he saw four beasts arise. Now what we've been noticing is there's a similarity between chapter 2 and chapter 7. The structure of the image in chapter 2 with the various sections of the image, and each representing a kingdom. We saw the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Medo-Persian kingdom, and then the Greek Empire, and then finally the Roman Empire. We saw that the feet of mixed with iron, the feet and toes mixed with iron and clay, representing the last days, which we would consider as believers now, as the tribulation period. Those last days of, not the church, but the last days of the times of the Gentiles. Do you remember the difference between the times of the Gentiles? What's the times of the Gentiles? All right, Nebuchadnezzar, time of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian captivity. It's a time period in which Jerusalem will be trodden under by the Gentiles. That will not be released until the second coming of Jesus Christ. At the end of that, right before his coming, and he comes back and destroys the Gentile powers. And what's the fullness of times? No. No. The completion of the church, right. Those are the last days. It's the completion of the church. When the church is completed, the body is completed, the rapture will take place. I'm waiting for that last person to put his faith in Christ, because when that happens, the body is complete, we'll be taken out of here, and that's going to be a great period. It's called the blessed hope for the believers, and it's going to happen. There's a similarity. As Daniel is in chapter 7 is observing, he sees four great beasts come out of the sea, and the first was like a lion. The unusual thing about the lion, it had wings, and its wings were plucked, and it lifted up from the earth, and it stood on its feet like a man. And we saw that that represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. By the way, that Babylonian kingdom lasted just about 70 years from the time that Daniel came on the scene, which was just exactly the time that Israel was to be in captivity. The Medo-Persian Empire is seen in verse 6. The Medo-Persian is the bear in verse 5. And it was like a bear. These are not actually bears, but they're similar to bears. And this represented the Medo-Persian Empire. And then in verse 6, the leopard, which represented the speed with the wings and the heads, the wings indicating the speed of the animal or the kingdom from which it spread, and it did spread very quickly under Alexander the Great. And then the four heads, the kingdom was finally divided into four sections by his generals, and they took dominion of it. Well, it was given to them. It didn't take it. It was given to them, and I noted that in this. And then in verse 7, he sees the fourth beast, the fourth beast being the Roman Empire. And this was a dreadful beast. He couldn't hardly observe it. It was way beyond description. It had great giant teeth, and it broke into pieces the things that were before it. It devoured and broke them into pieces. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that was before it, and had 10 horns. And then in the next, as he considered the horns in verse 8, behold, there came up from them another little horn, before which there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. And we'll be noticing more of that as we go through the book of Daniel. This is representative not only of the Antichrist, but we'll see that there is another person that it's going to represent, and we'll see that as we go through. Now we're in verse 9, and this is where we left off last time. I wanted to tell you a little story. In the Red Square in Moscow, there is a beautiful cathedral. It's called Saint Basilis Cathedral. It's well known. You've probably heard about it. It was built by Ivan the Fourth, and Ivan the Fourth was called Ivan the Terrible. And what he did was he summoned an architect to build a cathedral, one of the most beautiful. He wanted the most beautiful cathedrals in the world, and he asked him if he could do it, and he said yes, he could build one. And so he built this beautiful cathedral, Saint Basilis, and when it was all completed, Ivan asked him, he said, could you build another one more beautiful than this one? And the architect thought a little bit. He says, yes, I think I can. With that, Ivan had his eyes plucked out. The story goes that he didn't want anyone else to build a more beautiful temple than what he had built. And would not give him a second chance to build it. The point that I'm trying to make is that although the things in the world may appear to be beautiful, and some things are, they're only temporal. All things are temporal. Everything that in this world is temporal. I have reminded you that even the ground that you walk on is temporal. That someday it's all going to be dissolved. The kingdoms of this world, as powerful as they seem, and as frightful as they seem sometimes, they're only temporal. They're all going to perish. And there's something more beautiful coming. There's another kingdom coming. There's another world coming. Another heaven coming. The heavens, there'll be new heaven and new earth. And so as you and I look at this, we see the terrible things that are going to be happening. Which may seem awfully, we go out and we were at the shore on Monday. Linda and I got up early and drove down to the shore and spent the day down there. And it was a beautiful day. I mean, it was just a delightful day. And you think how beautiful the world was at that moment. And but it's all going to go away. But there's something that's far greater than that that's coming. And so as we look at this and we see the things that are happening, as beautiful as it may seem at times, we can look at the other side. And what we saw in this is that there's two sides of every story. There's a human side, and we saw that Daniel in chapter 1, we're looking at the human side. But there is another side of everything, and that is the divine side, the divine viewpoint. And what we're looking at in chapter 7 is this: these kingdoms from a divine standpoint. In chapter 2, Daniel was looking at it from a human standpoint, this beautiful image that was made of gold and silver and bronze and iron, but it was all going to be taken down someday. Now, we're going to see that in chapter 7, too, that it's going to be destroyed eventually by the Lord himself when he comes back. In verses 9 through 12, we come to a brief statement about the end of the beast and the end of human government as we know it today, the end of the tribulation. This is not the scene of the great white throne judgment, and I don't want you to misunderstand that. It's certainly not the scene of the Bema Seat, because the Bema Seat takes place in heaven. The great white throne judgment, of course, will take place in heaven too, because the earth will be destroyed, but the dead will rise, and the graves will give up their bodies, and there will be a great white throne judgment, and they'll stand before the judge. But this is a different scene. This is a scene at the end of the tribulation, and there's going to be a judgment at the end of the tribulation. So we need to understand that. When the horns, the thrones, the kingdoms and kings of this world will be demolished, and all rule and power and authority will be put down, making way for the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. It's interesting, the word cast down. It's found, let me see, I forgot how many times. It's found 11 times in the book of Daniel. 11 times in the book of Daniel. It's a word, it's rema, R-E-M-A-W in Aramaic. It means to cast down or throw. It's found 11 times in chapters 3 and chapter 6, where it was speaking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were cast into the a fiery furnace. It was used as Daniel being cast into the den of lions. It's an interesting word. In both of those times, it indicated that there was a penalty, or supposedly it would result in death. And now we have this word used again, and I assume that at this particular point there is, although it doesn't say that, but these kingdoms are going to be cast down, they're going to be destroyed, they're going to be killed. The end is going to come to them, and it's going to come very quickly when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. In each case, it carried the death penalty, as I mentioned, and the revised Roman Empire, as great and powerful as it will be, and it will be powerful here on this earth, it will be cast down and utterly destroyed. Why does the last, toes of and feet of iron and clay, and this last image of the little horn, why is it so powerful? How can it control everything? The whole world, and actually it will consume the whole world. It will take over the world. What's going to make it so powerful? What is it? Satan, absolutely. He's going to be the one who is going to empower this Antichrist, this human government that's going to come upon the face of the earth, and it will control the world, and it will be very, very powerful. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, let me read it to you. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold. It busted it all up. Now, Daniel is giving us more details about this. This is not a different story. This is just a continuation of the story, but looking at it from a different perspective, again, looking at it from God's vantage point at this point. We are looking at the final days of the revised Roman Empire. This is in the tribulation period. In the middle of this verse, the scene sort of shifts. Notice in verse 9, we're in verse 9. And I beheld until the thrones, that is, he kept looking until the thrones were placed, the Ancient of Days did sit. So he's shifting from this world now and the thrones of this world, and he's shifting into heaven. He's going to look at things from a different standpoint now. And he sees the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. This is a reference, of course, to God the Father. And the Ancient of Days, in verse 9, the Ancient of Days, his garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So the Ancient of Days now is here. We're looking at him. This phrase, Ancient of Days, is only used in the book of Daniel. And it's only found here and in chapter 7, verse 13, and chapter 7, verse 22. It's the only place you'll find the Ancient of Days, and it refers to God. It speaks, the Ancient of Days speaks of his eternal existence. He is forever. There was never any time or in space that he did not exist. He always was, and he always will be. Now he's described as sitting on his throne, his garment white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His garment, of course, would refer to the flowing robes that they wore in ancient times. The princes and nobles wore these, and priests wore these white garments, flowing robes. And his hair speaks of his holiness. The white of these speak of his holiness and his purity. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. This is a description, again, of the piercing and severity of his judgment. The wheels may allude to his ability to move around. It moves any direction. It can go very quickly. It can go this way, it can reverse, it can go to the left and go to the right, and it can go on and so on. It goes everywhere. And it speaks of its ability to move and ease of moving. The power and the providence of God is seen in this, that he's able to do and go wherever he wants to, from place to place. The scriptures describe our God as a consuming fire, and he is that. And he will judge man, and he will judge the world someday. This is what this verse is talking about. This is they're going to be cast down. These kingdoms will be consumed someday. Now you'll notice that Daniel's vision is similar to the vision recorded in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. We're not going to turn over there, but you want to put in your notes chapter 4 and chapter 5. And in those chapters you see the gathering around the throne of God and the scroll sitting there. And who's going to open the scroll? And the scroll, of course, is the judgments that are going to come upon the world. But the Ancient of Days, the God is sitting on his throne. And that's what you see here. He's on his throne, and they're waiting for something to happen. So he had, in verse 9, his head was like wool, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were burning fire. Many, many years ago, I was driving up in Carlisle, and going over the mountains in Carlisle, and there was a little car in front of me. I don't remember what kind it was. Maybe a Renault. I don't know if you ever remember a Renault. They weren't very good cars, but this Renault was in front of me, and all of a sudden it caught on fire. And it was interesting as it was going up. It was going up the mountain, and as the wheels were turning, the flames were coming out around the wheel. I mean, just shooting it out. And I sort of picture that here. This is these wheels and the fire coming out as it goes, wherever it goes. Judgment is coming upon the world in this time. So there is a similarity here in the judgment. The hosts are waiting for someone to open the scrolls, and here they are. They see the Ancient of Days that did sit. That means he's sitting on his throne, and he's waiting for that point. And a fiery stream, in verse 10, issued and came forth from before him. That's the thing that I was talking about as it went through. And a thousand and thousands ministered unto him. Tens thousands of thousands ministered. Millions of angelic beings ministering unto this one that was standing before him. The angels were waiting for his orders, ready to carry them out. In Psalm 103, and I don't have these written down for you, but you might want to jot it down. Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'm sorry. Bless the Lord, you angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, obeying the voice of his word." They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. And who's going to open the scroll, you know, in Revelation chapter 5? Is there anyone worthy? And there is one worthy, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So there is a day coming. That day, again, is not the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That day is the preparation. Of course, Paul is talking about is the beginning of the tribulation period. But the end of the tribulation period, it's going to come. They will be destroyed. All these kingdoms will be destroyed. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I can't imagine what this world is going to be like without the church in it that's left behind. The restrainer is restraining sin today. If the restrainer releases his, of course, he'll be taken out. I've shared this with you before. Before Pentecost, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed. Christ has come to this earth in flesh, and he changed his residency. He's God. He's everywhere. But his main place of residency was here on this earth for about 30-some years. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came. And his main place of abode today is in our bodies, in the church. He's still omnipresent. He's everywhere. But his main place of abode is here. When the rapture takes place, the Spirit will, once again, his main place of abode will be in heaven. He'll still be working here in the earth. He's still ministering down here. He's still doing what he has to do down here. He's carrying out the plan of God, and he is going to be doing that. So the Spirit's going to come to this earth, or came to this earth at Pentecost. He indwells the believer. Was he active before? Absolutely. He's been active from the very beginning. He was active in creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and he was active in creation. But he's changed his main place of abode, and he's now residing in it. Now someday, when we're taken out, his main place of abode will change. He'll revert back to being ministering down here or working down here, doing his work down here, but his main place of abode will be in heaven. You and I, our main place of abode is down here. But where are we seated? In the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. See? So it is position, of course, and responsibility that the Spirit takes on. So the tribulation will be a horrible time. And we're not going to be here at all at that point. But there is a fiery stream. And he talks about the thousands upon thousands ministered to him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now that second 10,000 times 10,000 are those who are going to stand before the judge. Those are the ones who are going to be judged. This is reference to the multitudes of people that are going to stand at that point. This is going to be the separation of the wheat and tares. You remember Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31 says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth." Saved, being protected, God dealing with it. And again, remember, this is not the great white throne judgment. This is just a preparation for the millennial kingdom. That's all this is. And it's going to be a separation of the wheat and the goats. You find this in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. We won't go there. But now if you don't understand all this, don't feel bad. Daniel didn't understand what was happening either. Hopefully, we don't have a minister, an angel coming to interpret it for us. But hopefully, as we go through the book of Daniel, we'll begin to see how all these things fit together. I'm just trying to give you a broad overview of what's going to happen. Let me review it to you. What he's saying is that there's coming a time when the kings of this world will be done away with. The Ancient of Days is just waiting. He's sitting on his throne. Daniel sees him sitting on the throne, and he's waiting for that right for that time to take place. What is that time? Well, that time is when the church is taken out, all right, and the Antichrist has had his way here on this earth, and the king, this monster, this last beast is fulfills his responsibility. And sits upon the throne of God in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, then this one will be destroyed. And Christ is waiting for that. And he's going to come back. And he's going to call his elect out, going to protect them. And then these 10,000 times 10,000 will stand before the judge, and there'll be a separation of the wheat and the wheat and the tares, the goats and at that point and the sheep. And there's going to be a great judgment that's going to come. And death will pursue. And if you read the book of Revelation, you know that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of people that will be killed in that period of time. And it's going to take place. But at the end, they will stand before him and have to give an account at that point. Not for salvation, but this is to give an account for what they've done. And they're all going to be cast out along with the Antichrist. Daniel, I said that if it's confusing, Daniel didn't understand it either. In chapter 7, verses 15 to 18, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this." I don't understand it, Daniel says. "Tell me what all this means." And so he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. So hopefully when we get through the book of Daniel, we'll understand a little bit more what's going to happen. This is just a broad overview. The judgment is set simply means that the court was set and the judge is sitting upon his bench. The judgment hasn't taken place yet. This is what Daniel sees in his vision. It is a vision of what will come to pass in the future. It's still future, but the events that lead up to the scene are coming closer and closer and closer. We see this. We see things that are happening in the world, and we say, well, it looks like we're moving closer and closer and closer to this revival of the Roman Empire, and one world ruler, the financial system calling into one world monetary system, and we just see so many things moving in that direction, and so we're looking at that, and it's still future, but we'll be taken out before that takes place. Daniel then sees the books being opened, and a fiery stream, and judgment was set, and the books were opened at the end of verse 10. We're not sure what these books are. They're not identified. They could be books of God's purpose and decrees concerning the beast, and the book of prophecies relating to them, or they could be books in which are recorded the good and evil deeds of that have been committed by them, books of records. I don't know what those books are. There are books that will be released later. When they stand before the great white throne judgment, of course, there will be the books released. And everyone will be given an opportunity at that point to plead their case. I suspect that many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? We cast out demons. We did this, we did that. And God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Everyone that stands before the great white throne judgment are unsaved. Everyone that stands before the bema seat will be saved. Everyone that stands before this judgment here, the beast, there will be a separation of the elect, and then these will be judged, these will be the unsaved, and the book of records will be opened. Verse 11, and I beheld then because the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. Finally, the little horn begins to speak, and he says, I beheld. Actually, that's a very... it's a unique phrase in the Chaldean or the Aramaic language. It's actually two words, and it means to take heed to gaze upon these two words. And what Daniel is saying, I was very careful to look at all these things. I was watching very carefully. I didn't want to miss one thing, and I looked very carefully to gaze upon it. I wanted to get all the facts straight, what was happening. That combination of words is found 9 times in this chapter. It's found in verse 2, in verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. It's found twice in this verse, in verse 11. You'll notice it's held in verse 11, I beheld. Then because the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, and I beheld again even till the beast was slain. He's very careful to gaze upon this and watch it very carefully. It's also used again in verse 13 and in verse 21. 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 11, twice, and then in verse 13, all 9 times. In verse 21, I'm sorry. And he's impressing upon his readers that he was very careful not to miss anything. He didn't want to miss any part of this dream. This is the first time that he heard the voice, and it's coming from the little horn, and it spoke great words. So Daniel watches very carefully, and wants to be sure he got it all down right. Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let me read these words. John revealed what he is saying. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. This is the Antichrist. And blasphemies and powers were given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he's going to speak all these great things against God and against his people. So Daniel is very careful to watch this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is at worship, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So puts himself in the middle of the tribulation. He sits down in the middle, right in the Holy of Holies, in the temple that's been rebuilt in Jerusalem. Right in the middle of the tribulation. He has 42 months to rule, and then the end's going to come. This is a dream that Daniel has. It's like a parade, one thing after another, after another, after another. And Daniel kept watching, and he was, he saw the demise of the little horn. It was slain. The voice. And he watched and watched till the beast was slain. So he's just very carefully watching all these things as it goes by. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "And then shall the wicked one be revealed, when the Lord shall whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Get an idea of what this Antichrist is like, this one that he's speaking of. I don't know if you've noticed, but God can raise up someone and can take him down just like that. Doesn't take much. He disposes of the mighty men and men and how wicked and men are, and ultimately brought to divine judgment in time. That isn't even looking into eternity, but in time. We saw the demise of Bin Laden. I think yesterday or day before, another one of the great leaders of the, or one of the main leaders of the Al Qaeda was killed. It doesn't take much. I mean, God can lead men right there. You think that they're going to be around forever, and they're not going to be around forever. It's going to happen someday, and this wickedness that's in the world will be put down. God's judgment of the little horn is going to be definite. It's going to be severe. Just as it is on all sin. Is all this really going to happen? Are we just looking at this thing and saying, well, we've made up a system? Well, if you believe that the scriptures are inspired by God, and I do, we can trust in what this word says to us. And we're looking down the corridors of time from Daniel's standpoint, and he's looking at the things at right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist has taken his place. The church has been raptured out, although Daniel doesn't see that. He sees the Roman Empire, the ten toes, and mixed with clay. And he sees this bear that's, not the bear, but the beast that comes, that's indescribable. And he sees those things happening down the road. And you and I, from a prophetic standpoint, we can understand that. Can you imagine as Daniel is hearing these things that he can't put it all together. He has no idea. But it's coming. And is it sure? Absolutely it's sure. Listen to me. All that Daniel has prophesied about the first three kingdoms have happened. Actually, the first three and a half kingdoms has already taken place. And it's taken place literally. Every word, everything that he said has been fulfilled exactly as Daniel said. Do you think the last portion of it is going to change? Absolutely not. So it is sure. It is going to happen. It's coming. They will be fulfilled. The progression of the kingdoms or the empires of this world will be fulfilled just as Daniel proclaimed them. They have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled just as Daniel has said they would. There's no reason whatsoever to believe otherwise. As believers. Now my time is way past. Let's close with a word of prayer. I didn't realize that. Father, we thank you again this morning for your love. We thank you for your care over us, how you protected us from the wicked one, how you watched over us to protect us from the world and the flesh and the devil, how you've carefully brought us through so many things. And Father, we look forward to meeting you face to face someday. So we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.